Track 6. Welcome to this week's sports news, where, as usual, we have a lot of ground to cover. Glass Boys, that's Stourbridge Football Club's valiant effort to achieve promotion to the northern section of the National League, ground to a halt on Saturday when they lost the playoff final by 1-0 to Spennymoor United. A solitary goal by the home side, half an hour into the match, stood between Stourbridge and history. They must be gutted. Last year, they missed out on the promotion playoffs by one place in the league. This year, they lost out on promotion by one goal. Will they be up for another promotion push in 12 months' time? According to the match reports, the win for Spennymoor was no more than they deserved, and but for heroics in the Glass Boys' net by keeper Gould, the goal difference between the teams would have been greater. During the first half, Spennymoor's goalkeeper was largely a spectator, and it was only late in the game that Stourbridge forced one or two half chances to equalise the home side's solitary goal. Gould produced at least a couple of miracle saves for Stourbridge, and at the very end, that perennial goal scorer, Glassboys' Luke Benbow, did draw a good save from the Spennymoor keeper, but that was that. All credit to the winners, who've had a great recent history. They were only promoted into the Evo Stick Northern Premier League at this time last year, and they've gone straight through the division and upwards in 1 year. But Stourbridge have also had an excellent season, finishing third in the table at the end of the regular season. Let's just hope they can go one better next time, and not forgetting their heroics in the FA Cup. I spent so much time last week describing the Glassboys' success in reaching the promotion playoff final that I'd left no space for another local success story. You may remember that we'd been following the progress of the Stourbridge Lions, the amateur rugby side who share the ground at Stourton Park. Well, the Lions clinched the title in Midlands 2 West League with a resounding 46-0 away win at Newcastle in Staffordshire, ending as champions for the 2016-17 season by a two-point margin over the Birmingham team, Camp Hill. Midlands 1 awaits them next season, and that's just two levels below where Stourbridge Rugby, the semi-professional side at Stourton Park, play their rugby. This is important not just for the success itself, but because under the rugby union's rules, associated clubs within two divisions of each other can register their players with both clubs, meaning that promising Lions team members could be offered a run out with the main Stourbridge team, and equally, since the semi-pro team have usually well over 30 players on their books, some of those can be offered game time by the Lions. Sounds to me like a great deal for both clubs. As to the main Stourbridge rugby team, their season ground to an inglorious climax on Saturday when they lost their final match by 46 points to 26 away from home at South Leicester. For the second week running, despite losing heavily, Stourbridge picked up a bonus point for scoring four tries, but that was as good as it got. The team was depleted due to injuries and unavailability, which resulted in players being drafted in out of position and one or two old hands brought out of storage. Actually, the score appears worse than it may have been thanks to South Leicester bagging 12 points from a try and a converted try in the last 3 minutes, by which stage a weary Stourbridge 15 were more than ready to throw in the towel. The season has ground to a thankful end for the team who finished in 8th position in the 16-team League 2 North, which I think is as low as I can remember. Let's hope the management are busy on the phone even now recruiting new blood for next season. Coming back to soccer, Birmingham City fans are still holding their breath as the club hovered dangerously close to the relegation places in the Championship. When I was telling you about the arrival of Harry Redknapp as their new manager last week, I passed on his quote that he thought if he could manage to inspire the team to one win out of their final three matches, they had a good chance of survival. Well, he did manage that late last week when the Blues managed a 2-0 home win over Huddersfield Town. A good effort that, as Huddersfield have already secured a place in the playoffs for promotion to the Premier League. But Villa did Blues no favours by losing 1-0 at Blackburn Rovers, the other side desperately struggling to survive in the Championship for another season. So the position is not yet resolved. Blues travel to Bristol City this coming weekend for their final match of the season, knowing that they may need victory to avoid the drop. The second week of the local cricket season in the Worcestershire County League saw a victory for Hagley and defeat for Pedmore in the First Division, whilst there was also one win and one loss amongst local sides in the Second Division, where Bell Broughton beat Bromyard, but Old Swinford lost against Chadsley Corbett. Hagley's win against Redditch was both quite high scoring and fairly close. Hagley made 274 for 5 from their 50 overs, with a fine 81 not out from Stead, but perhaps they owed more to Dan Giles, who scored 46, but also took 4 wickets for 54, as Redditch were bowled out for 255, their final wicket going down to the penultimate ball of the innings. By contrast, Pedmore's visit to Cookley was low scoring. Pedmore batted first, but were all out for 139 in just over 40 overs. The wicket must have been a bit tricky on Saturday because Cookley only narrowly overcame that modest total to win by 3 wickets, with a total of 142 for 7 and a couple of overs to spare. In the second division, Bell Broughton at Bromyard rattled up 266 for 7 from their 50 overs, the runs being shared out fairly equally among several batsmen, and then they dismissed the home side for 210 to win by 56 runs. Old Swinford's visit to Chadsley Corbett was something of a disaster. Having seen the home side rattle up 296 for 9 after 50 overs, Old Swinford was skittled for just 69 runs, definitely one for them to forget. Sunday's Formula One meeting, the Russian Grand Prix at Sochi by the Black Sea, was the fourth meeting this season and produced the third winner. Still, the battle was between Mercedes and Ferrari, likely to be the two dominant teams again this season, but it was Mercedes' Valtteri Bottas who triumphed on Sunday, not his teammate Lewis Hamilton. Both Mercedes cars started from the second row of the grid, but Bottas was jet-propelled off the start line and within the first couple of bends had overtaken both Mercedes cars driven by Vettel and Raikkonen. He managed top spot throughout the race, although the last few laps were exciting as Vettel made a late pit stop for fresh tyres and then drew closer and closer behind, and there was only about a second between the two cars at the finish. This was Bottas' first career Grand Prix win, while for Hamilton, the day had nothing but disappointment. He was complaining about a lack of power from his car together with overheating of the engine, and he never put pressures on the leader, finishing in fourth place about half a minute behind his teammate. The next few races are all in Europe, the next being the Spanish Grand Prix in 2 weeks' time. Hamilton will be hoping his technical team will have sorted out the overheating problem by then. But if Lewis Hamilton thinks he had a tough time in Sochi, he need only look in the direction of former world champion and now McLaren team driver Fernando Alonso. Poor Alonso trudged back to the team garage on foot, his car having failed even to start the race. To think that McLaren and Alonso were once a combination that put fear into other drivers. This week's local speedway news includes Wolverhampton Wolves' big home win I told you about last week against the Rye House team being overshadowed by an even bigger victory against King's Lynn on Bank Holiday Monday. Final score 59-30 to the Wolves, who won 14 out of the 15 heats comprising the meeting. Freddie Lindgren and Jacob Torsell were, as usual, the top scorers for the home team, but they were joined on the leaderboard by Rory Schlein, who was recruited by the team the week before. This coming weekend, Wolves visit the other new team in the league this season, Somerset, with an away fixture this Friday evening and the return at Monmore Green next Monday. Meanwhile, Cradley Heathens brought the month of April to an end with an away match versus Eastbourne, which they lost by 36 points against 51. Despite their rider Danny Ayres winning all 5 heats in which he took part, support by the other members of the team was lacking, and the loss of 3 consecutive heats by the maximum 5 points to 1 killed any chance they may have had of achieving a result. With only 1 win from 3 matches at this early stage of the season, Heathens are in 4th place in the National League table. In tennis, British eyes last week were cast on Alias Bedani, the Slovenian who is now a naturalised Briton, as he reached his first ever ATP Tour final in Budapest. This match was the climax of a 16-match unbeaten run for Bedani, but unfortunately he lost in the final rather tamely to the French player Lucas Puy by 6-3, 6-1. However, reaching the final has hauled him well up the rankings, and Great Britain currently has 4 men in the world top 100. I can't remember when that last occurred, if ever. Andy Murray was a late entry last week for the Barcelona Open tournament as he tried to squeeze in more practice on clay courts in the run-up to the French Open Grand Slam tournament in another 3 weeks. He did so after falling quite early on in the Monte Carlo tournament the week before. In Barcelona, Andy progressed to the semi-final where he was beaten in 3 sets by the Austrian player Dominic Thiem. Thiem then lost to Rafa Nadal in the Barcelona final, the 10th time Nadal has won this event. Finally, I must tell you, there was a small miracle in the Gall household over the weekend. My wife consented to watch a smidgen of the World Snooker semi-final between John Higgins and Barry Hawkins. Usually I'm dispatched to watch any snooker in another room. The smidgen became a frame or two, then more, and then on Sunday evening she actually asked when the snooker was on. She became quite wrapped up in Selby versus Higgins on both Sunday and Monday. I don't believe it. That's all from the sports desk this week.